their seats while we sing, and singing them out to the glory of the Lord.
Unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord tonight, praying that we'll know the Lord drawing near and that we might know a real sense of His presence among us this evening. Our Father and our God, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, we approach unto Thee. O God, as we come into Thy presence, we confess, O God, our unworthiness. We confess, O God, that we are poor and needy in and of ourselves. O Lord, Thy word tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Realize, O God, that there's nothing in and of ourselves or of man that can commend the favor of God. Yet, O God, we thank Thee tonight that our acceptance is not in ourselves or in anything of man's device or creed or the institutions or the organizations of men. But, O God, we thank Thee tonight that our acceptance before Thee is through Christ, the beloved Son of God, the one who knew no sin, the one who did no sin, the one who is holy, harmless, altogether separate from sinners, the one who is indeed the altogether lovely one. And, Father, we thank Thee that in the fullness, O God, of Thy time, He came into this world, and He died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for our sins upon the cross. We thank Thee, O God, that He bore upon Himself the wrath, the judgment of God that was our due, that judgment that we deserved for our sins. O God, Thy word declares that, Lord, we were under condemnation. Yet, O God, we thank that Christ stood in our stead. He became our substitute. And Father, we thank Thee that He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He poured out His life unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank thee that he rose again triumphant the third day, alive forevermore, never to die again for sin. And, O God, we thank thee that we can say tonight with thy word that because he lives, we shall live also. And we thank thee, O God, that Christ has risen, that he is exalted at thy right hand, and there he ever lives to intercede for the people of God. And Father, we thank thee tonight for the value and the virtue of the precious blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing. Oh, what a blessing to be able to sing with that blessed assurance of sins forgiven. And oh God, we rejoice tonight, Lord, as thy people, that our sins are under the blood of Christ. We thank thee, O God, that they're cast into the sea of thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And the psalmist could praise thee and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who blotteth out all thy transgressions. And Father, we thank thee that our sins are pardoned as far as the east is from the west. We thank thee, O God, tonight as thy people, we can rejoice that our name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. We thank thee for the great hope of life eternal, life evermore, the life abundant that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice, O God, tonight in the sufficiency of the grace of God, the grace that is sufficient for our every need. We thank thee for every mercy that thou hast given to us. Now, Lord, for every blessing, for every good and every perfect gift, and for this wonderful privilege tonight that affords us as the people of God, of gathering together with those of like precious faith around the word of God, to worship thee, to seek thee, and to hear thy word, and to call upon thy name. And Father, we just pray tonight that thou wilt bless our coming together here tonight. Lord, it is thy presence that makes the feast. And O God, we pray, draw very near. Outpour thy Holy Spirit upon our waiting hearts tonight. And Lord, be pleased to tabernacle in our midst. And be pleased to bless our waiting hearts. And even tonight to move from seat to seat, from heart to heart. May we hear the voice of the Lord tonight, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. May we see the Lord afresh. Lord, thy word tells us that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And, oh God, we realize that it is a sight of Christ, the one who bled and died for us, the one who rose again, that gladdens the hearts of the saints of God. And, Father, we pray that we might know in our hearts and souls tonight as thy people that joy unspeakable and full of glory. May the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, we pray. And, Father, may we be quickened and strengthened and encouraged and built up, O God, in our most holy faith. Help us, Lord, as your people to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. And Father, we thank thee for every favor that thou dost give to us. And Lord, for the privilege tonight of prayer, and the privilege of gathering around the word of God. And Lord, bless thy word and bless thy truth, and speak to us tonight by the way. We thank thee for all who've been able to come. Bless every head bowed before thee, O Lord. Bless every family represented. O God, we pray that thou would unite our family circles in the Lord. We pray that thou wilt bless each household represented. Remember all our homes and all our families. We pray that in our homes, Lord, there'll be a real sense of the presence of God, that our homes might be like that of Obed-Edom of old, who knew the blessing of the Lord while the Ark of the Covenant abided in his home, we pray. We thank thee for the children's meeting tonight, Lord, and Tresna. We thank thee for every boy and girl who gathered tonight to hear your word. Bless that seed that has been sown, O God. And Lord, may these young lives, each one of them, O God, be made wise unto salvation. And those who are saved, may they be strengthened. May they become missionaries for God in their day and generation, we ask. We pray for those that cannot be with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. Lord, touch them and strengthen them and encourage them, we pray. Lord, for others that mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts. and be unto them all that they would need and require, O God, we ask. Again, we thank you for the services here last Lord's Day and help given to thy servant and the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for all who gathered in to hear your word. And Lord, may that word live on and bring forth much fruit to the glory and to the honor of the Savior, we pray. Father, bless our land tonight, O God. We thank thee for every, Lord, prayer meeting such as this. We think of gospel missions on at this time and ministry meetings. Do bless every faithful endeavor for the Lord. And, O God, have mercy upon our land. And wrath, remember mercy, Lord, we pray. And, Father, we pray that in spite of ourselves, in spite of our waywardness and rebellion as a nation, O God, that thou would just favor us again with days of revival, days of reformation. May there be a turning away from sin and false religion and all that is contrary, O God, to thee. And may there be that turning again in the hearts of the people, even unto the Lord our God. Abide with us, shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood of Christ. Close out every distracting thought that is not of thee. Cleanse our hearts afresh. And may we leave this prayer meeting tonight revived and refreshed and invigorated by the Spirit of God, in knowing, Lord, that it was good for us to be here. For here we met afresh with the Lord. Outpour thy Spirit. Grant us thy blessing tonight. And in everything that is said and done, we pray that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be honored and glorified, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. And amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God to the book of Colossians in the middle part of the New Testament. Turning to Colossians chapter 1, I want to read some verses from the chapter, beginning at the verse number 9 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 14. While you're looking it up, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see you all gathered with us this evening. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember the meetings over the weekend, pray for them. And the children's meeting here on Friday night, 6:30. The youth fellowship at 8 p.m. And then the services on the Lord's Day Sunday morning, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon. We belong to bring God's word in the morning. Then remember, please, the special testimony meeting on the Lord's Day evening. Our brother, Mr. Andrew Dobbin, an elder from our Omer Church, will be along to testify of God's saving grace. And our sister, Mrs. Grace McClintock, as well, will be along to sing for us in the gospel. So remember these meetings, pray for them, make them known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Do you remember the wee invites there for the testimony meeting? They're out on the table in the porch. I encourage you to take those and give them out to a family member, a friend or neighbor, relative, whatever, somebody you work with, whatever, and invite them along. And then do also remember, please, the wee Way of Life calendars. They're out there. Those are free. I encourage you again to take those. It's a wonderful way of getting the Word of God into homes at this time of the year. Take as many as you want and give them out to your friends and neighbors. Those are the ones that we normally would give out at the ploughing outreach. So do remember those and avail yourself of them as you leave this evening. Now we're going to turn in God's Word to Colossians chapter 1, reading just from the verse number 9 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We'll end our reading there, praying the Lord will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to really focus our message upon tonight is verse 9 there of Colossians 1. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Some years ago, there was a young missionary, and they were seriously ill in the jungles of Ecuador, where they ministered and labored for the Lord. However, at that same time, thousands of miles away, at a prayer meeting in the city of Boston in the United States of America, a friend, indeed a colleague in the ministry, gathered his people in the church to pray and to pray for that missionary. At that time, they prayed earnestly for that missionary, and the outcome was that the missionary was healed. Although he had been seriously ill, he was healed. He knew the touch of God. In fact, he went on to minister for some 40 years in that part of the Lord's vineyard. Why do we mention that tonight, dear people? Well, it really shows us the power of prayer, the power of intercessory prayer. Indeed, God's people uniting together to pray for their fellow believers in the Lord. And why it is this vital matter of intercessory prayer that is outlined for us in our Bible reading here tonight in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. And here we have Paul praying for the church at Colossae. And a few weeks ago, we looked at the introduction to this epistle in the opening verses of this chapter. And in that introductory message, we saw how Paul rejoiced in these believers. He rejoiced in the formation of this little church at Colossae. Indeed, he commended them. And following on from this, we see now how his rejoicing, it leads him, it stirs him up to pray for them. Look again at what he says in verse 9. He says, "And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire," notice that little phrase there, "to desire." And here you see that Paul had a burden for this people. He rejoiced in them. He rejoiced in the grace of God in their lives. And now he comes to pray for them. This was the desire of his heart, the burden of his soul. He brings them before the Lord. And he seeks God's favor and blessing for them. Yes, his rejoicing gives way to praying for them. And people, this prayer is a prayer that is really full of instruction for God's people regarding the matter of intercessory prayer. Yes, child of God, intercessory prayer is to be a part of our lives, or a part of our testimony, a part of our witness as God's people. Yes, there may be certain things we cannot do in the service of God, and there's folks have different gifts for different things. But people, when it comes to intercessory prayer, this is something that every single one of us who are saved by the grace of God can be involved in and should be involved in. And we can engage in it as something for all the people of God to be involved in. Every member of the church, whether a person has been saved a long time or whether they've just been recently converted to Christ, men, women, young people, boys and girls who are saved. This is something for every part of the church of Christ to be involved in. Look again at what Paul says there in verse number 9. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." Notice that little phrase there. We also. Paul, yes, prayed for these believers in Colossae, but there were others with them at that time as well, in his ministry, wherever he was, and together they engaged the Lord and sought the Lord. They interceded at the throne of grace. And my, this is to be something that is to be part of our lives as God's people. Yes, intercessory prayer, what is it, we might ask? Well, it is praying for others. Praying for other people. And this is something we all can do. I believe it is something we all, as Christians, are called to the kingdom for, to do, to pray for others. And you have many examples of this right throughout the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. We have examples of God's people, men and women alike, praying for others. And we are to pray for other people. And especially we're to pray for our fellow believers, our fellow Christians, and especially those that are in the local church, the local assembly, where the Lord has called us to. And throughout the scriptures, yes, we are commanded to pray for each other. Turn back there to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we looked at this verse some time ago in our morning meeting on the Lord's Day. And just look at what it says there in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Notice the final three words, for all saints. And that there is intercessory prayer. This is something that applies to every single one of us, even in this meeting tonight. Now, in this introduction here to Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae, we see some tremendous words right at the very beginning in verse number 9, where he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And if we just look briefly at this introduction to his prayer, there are just a number of thoughts I want just to share with you briefly tonight. Notice first of all here the motive for this prayer. Look again at how verse 9 begins. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. He says there, for this cause. And what cause? Well, if you go back to verse 8, what was it here that caused, back to verse 4 rather, what was it that caused Paul to pray for these people? Well, go back to verse 4. You see there that he speaks about their faith. He speaks about their love. He says, since the day we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all saints. He speaks of their faith, their love. Look at verse 5. He speaks there about their hope. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And then in verse 8, he talks there about their own particular affection and concern for him, the Apostle Paul. He says, of Epaphras, who also declared unto us, he says, your love in the Spirit. Yes, it was indeed through Paul's faithful preaching that the gospel reached these people in Colossae. And the thing just to note was here, as he thinks about this church, Paul isn't taken up with their faults or their failings or their shortcomings. No, he's taken up with the graces of God in their life. He speaks here of their faith, their love, their hope. And my, it was because of these things, these manifestations of the grace of God in their life, that he was stirred up to pray. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. You see there that it stirred him up to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that Paul was praying every second, every minute of the day. But what it means was Paul had that continual burden to pray for these people time after time after time. And he was stirred up to pray for them. Yes, from the very day he hears about their godly testimony, he does not cease to pray for them. And my, these same things were the things that stirred him up also to pray for the church at Ephesus. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and you'll see something similar that stirs him up here to pray for the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love again unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And again, you see the cause was this, the grace of God in the lives of these people in Ephesus. He saw the grace of God outworked in their life, their faith, their love, and stirred them up to pray. Again, it was so in the church of the Colossians, where our text is found tonight. He considers their faith, their love, their hope. He sees the grace of God, the evidence of God's dealings with them in salvation. Stirred up thanksgiving in his soul, but it also stirred him up to, to pray for them, to pray without ceasing for the believers in Christ and the church at Colossae. And brethren and sisters in Christ, the lesson here for us surely is this, that whenever we meet with another Christian, and we see the grace of God in their life, no matter who that Christian is, what should we do for them? One of the things we should do for them above and beyond everything else is to pray for them, to seek God on their behalf. The Bible says, pray one for another. Well, let us not be taken up with the faults and feelings and shortcomings of God's people, so much so that we neglect prayer. How important it is that we pray for our brethren and sisters in Christ. And when we meet with another believer in the Lord, maybe through work, through employment, maybe in our neighborhood, maybe through other interaction in the community, wherever, one of the things we should do for that believer is pray for them. Pray that they'll know God's help and blessing in their lives as a believer. Yes, the motive here for this prayer. But notice, secondly, notice the goal of this prayer. Look again at what he says in the middle part there of verse number 9 of Colossians chapter 1. He says, and to desire, this was the burden of his heart. This was the longing of Paul's soul. This was something that really consumed him. He says, and to desire that ye might be filled, he says, with the knowledge of his will. Now, the goal of this prayer was that this people, these believers in the church of Colossae, that they would prosper spiritually, that there would be that spiritual prosperity in their lives, that they would prosper spiritually in their knowledge of God. He says, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Remember, we mentioned that a few weeks ago, that this church was being attacked. Being attacked by false teachers and false teaching. And my, these false teachers, they were a people who thought that they knew better than God. And in their folly, they tried to move the Christians here at Colossae away from the Lord, away from their service for God, away from the simplicity of the gospel message of faith in Christ alone. That was the aim of this attack upon the believers here in Colossae, to move them away from the Lord and the gospel. And to counteract this error, this false teaching, indeed, to prevent the Colossian believers from falling as it way, away, as it were. Paul prayed for them. And he prays here that their knowledge of God would increase, that their knowledge of the Lord would be strengthened. He was praying here that they would have a more clear and distinct knowledge of the mind of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be that strengthening of their knowledge of the Lord, so that they would stand firm against those that were attacking them and seeking to draw them away from the Lord, from the work of God, and from the cause of the gospel. Child of God, in this world, Satan, yes, will use many devices against you and I as Christians. He attacks the Christian. He attacks the church of Christ, the church of the firstborn. And he will use many people to lead us away from the Lord. He will use many things to lead us away from Christ and the gospel and our service for God. That's what he's continually doing. That's his continual strategy. Well, to overcome this, how do we overcome? Well, we follow the example here of Paul and we pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our fellow believers in the church. And in doing so, we need to pray especially that our knowledge of God and Christ would be increased and would be strengthened. This is something to pray for ourselves in this age in which we live, and for our fellow believers here in the congregation, that our knowledge of the Lord and of Christ would be increased and strengthened by the mighty hand of God. You turn with me again back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 17. Look again at what Paul here prays for the church at Ephesus. It's really similar to what he's praying about in our text tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse number 17. He prays, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give unto you the spirit, notice, of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He was praying for these Christians in Ephesus that there'd be that strengthening
of their knowledge of God. What does it say in the book of Daniel? It says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And it's by our knowledge of the Lord being increased that we'll be strengthened and enabled to withstand the attacks of the devil, the evil one. Turn again over to 2 Peter in your Bible, over to the book of 2 Peter and go right down to the end of the book to chapter number 3 and look at verse number 17 and verse number 18 of 2 Peter chapter number 3. And here Peter is warning Christians of the attack of the devil and the evil one, leading Christians away from the things of God and the teaching of the gospel. And he says in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. This is something to watch out for. He says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, notice it, fall from your own steadfastness. He was speaking to believers who were saved. He warns them. He says, beware, lest ye be carried away with the error of the wicked one, the allurements of the devil, and you fall from your own steadfastness. And what is it that combats us? Look at the final verse there of 2 Peter chapter 3. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now forever. Amen. He says, grow in grace. That he was really longing and praying also that for these believers to whom he was writing to, and they were going through a time of great trial, that there'd be that increasing of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Christ in their lives. How important this is, dear people, to pray for in our own lives. How important this is to pray for in the lives of our fellow believers in this church, our children, our young people, our senior members, office bearers, each and every one of us. This is something we should pray for one another in the Lord's work and in the Lord's cause. You think of what the hymn writer says. It's a great old hymn we often love to sing. The hymn writer says, more about Jesus would I know. He wanted to know more about the Lord. And that really was the goal here of Paul's prayer. The motive for his prayer, the goal of his prayer. Notice finally here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Notice also the subject of this prayer. Yes, in praying for their knowledge of God to increase. You see here how Paul prayed for two things in particular. He prays that they might be filled, he says, with the knowledge of his will. He's talking about God's will. With the knowledge of his will, he says, in all wisdom. Here he was praying that they might be filled. This is what he was praying, that they'd be filled with the wisdom of God. That they would increase in the wisdom of God. And this is how God wants each one of us to live as Christians who are saved, that we might be filled with the wisdom of God here on earth in this scene of time. Turn again back to Ephesians chapter number 5 and look at what is said there in verse 15 and 17. It applies to you and I who are saved. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17, it says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, the thought there is of God's people increasing in the wisdom of God and living out the wisdom of God in their lives. And this wisdom, yes, is fundamental. It's vital to us having a fruitful life for God in this scene of time. Paul here prays in Colossians 1 verse 9. He says that you might be filled, he says, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. And that leads us to ask a question. Where do we find the knowledge of God's will? Where do we find the wisdom of God? Where is it revealed unto us? Well, people, it's revealed unto us in the Scriptures, in the Bible, in the Word of God. That's where we find the knowledge of God's will. Yes, the Bible is our primary source of divine wisdom. All that we need to know about God, about man, about ourselves, it's all in the Scriptures. Indeed, if we are to live out God's wisdom, if we are to increase in the knowledge of God's will, then, dear people, we must be a people of the Bible. We must be a people of the book. We must read God's Word. We must meditate upon it. We must not depart from it. We must cleave to the Word of God. How important that is in our lives as Christians. Turn back to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. And look with me, please, at the verse number 8 of that chapter, the book of Joshua, chapter number 1, and the verse number 8. Here you have the Lord, through his given instruction specifically to Joshua, who was to take over as leader in Israel. And look at what is said to Joshua about the Word of God, about the wisdom of God that is found in the Scriptures. He says, the Lord says in verse number 8 of Joshua chapter 1, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." And look at the promise. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." And the Lord wasn't talking here about material prosperity. No, he's talking about spiritual prosperity. He says, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then," he says, "thou shalt have good success." Now, if you've got a Bible with a central margin, you'll see that that final phrase there, "have good success," literally means to do wisely. In other words, to be wise for God in this world. To be a person that is known for the wisdom of God, who is filled with the knowledge of his will. Where do we find the knowledge of God's will, dear people? We find it in the Word of God. Find it in the Scriptures. How important it is that we make much of the Scriptures, that the Word of God is part and parcel of our lives as Christians. He also prayed here in Colossians 1, verse 9, he says, that they might be filled, he says, with all spiritual understanding. Here he was praying that God would enable them by his Word, indeed, by his Spirit as Christians, to discern, to have the spirit of discernment, to discern between good and evil, to discern between true and false, to discern between what is genuine and what is counterfeit. He prays that they might be filled, he says, with that spiritual understanding, to have that spirit of discernment that comes from the Lord. Again, that was Paul's desire for young Timothy, as he writes to him in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, he says, "The Lord give thee understanding in all things." Paul's desire for young Timothy was that he would be a man of spiritual discernment. And people, how important that is for the day and the age in which we live. There's so much counterfeit. There is so much false that is false. There's so much evil abounding around us in society, and this is a day when everything is turned upside down. Today, good is called evil, and evil is called good. And it's very easy to be sucked up by the spirit of Antichrist that is pervading our society day by day, and to be led away, as it were, captive by the devil at his will. How we need to be praying for one another and for our fellow believers in the Lord, that we would have that spiritual discernment, that spiritual understanding that comes from the Lord. Turn with me back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and the verse number 32. Here you read about the children of Issachar in the day of David. And look at how they're described. Look at what the Bible says about them. Verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And it says, "And of the children of Issachar," notice what it says about them, "which were men that had understanding," notice it, "of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." This was the mark of these men of Issachar. They were men of discernment. They had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. And how important that is for today, dear people, how relevant that is for this age in which we live. Brethren and sisters in Christ, and praying for ourselves, and this is something we are to do, pray for ourselves, and praying for our fellow Christians. This is something we are called to the kingdom to do, to pray for one another in the Lord. Yes, we are to pray for physical needs, health and strength. Pray for temporal needs, or our physical well-being. We can pray in God's work for numerical increase and temporal increase. And it's right and proper, yes, to pray for those things. But above and beyond those things, how important it is that we pray for ourselves and pray for our fellow Christians, even after the manner of this verse, this prayer here of Paul that God has given to us in the Scriptures. When he prays for these Christians, this is the burden of his heart. This is the longing of his soul. This is the passion of his heart. He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is something we can pray for ourselves, something we can pray for one another. Pray for our loved ones in Christ, our children, our young people, those in our Sunday school or youth fellowship, those in the children's meetings who are saved. Pray that each and every one that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice that word filled. Yes, the Lord has blessed us in the past, and we maybe have learned things about the Lord and his word in the past, but there's room for more. There's never an end with the Lord. Now we should pray that we might increase more and more the knowledge of his will and in his wisdom and in that spiritual understanding that comes from the Lord, that we might even have the spirit of the men of Issachar in the day of David, who had understanding of the times, who knew what Israel ought to do. May God bless his word, and these few thoughts, may they be an encouragement to us tonight, even to pray one for another, and to pray in these days in which we live and to seek the Lord. We'll get down to our season of prayer, but before we do, we'll maybe turn again just to our little hymn sheet. It's another great old hymn, and it encourages us to seek the Lord. It says, O breath of life, come sweeping through us, revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. We'll keep our seats while we sing, singing it out heartily unto the Lord as the organist would lead us.
Oh,
we'll just seek the Lord, and just a few prayer requests I want to leave with you. Do remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. Pray for that. God's hand of blessing upon the meetings, even in the run-up to Christmas at this time, that the Lord would speak to boys and girls, and there'd be those who'd come to know the Lord. And pray for Gillian and the team of workers who help week by week. Remember the services and the Lord's Day Sunday School Bible class, the morning service, and the testimony meeting. Pray for Brother Andrew as he comes, and you know God's help and blessing, and that even God would be pleased in his mercy to draw people in with hearts prepared of God, even to hear what God can do in a life, and that God would speak to us. Remember the outreach. Pray for the door-to-door work as well. In recent times, yes, the whole town of Enniskillen has been covered. Ballinalech has been visited. Ballinamallard has been visited, and Tamlet as well. So pray that as the liturgies went into these homes, God would bless. And again, the other wee booklet that has went out over the county of Fermanagh. We've had a number of emails from people that are strangers, very encouraging. And do pray that God will bless that booklet. I don't know if you've got it yet or not, but really by the end of this week, I think it should have covered all of Fermanagh. And pray that God would speak through that gospel witness to hearts and to souls. Remember the sick, please, and the elderly as well, those connected with us who need a touch from God. Just bring them before the Lord and pray the Lord will undertake for them. And remember our missionaries at home and abroad, and maybe you could remember especially just our churches in North America, in Canada and the United States, and many of them meet in little groups, seeking to be a faithful witness for the Lord. Pray the Lord would just strengthen their hand in God, and that the Lord would encourage them at this time as well in their labors for the Lord. We'll just seek the Lord, encourage as many as possible to pray, and men and women, young and old alike, one with another, one for another, and let there be no gaps. Let us pour out our hearts before the Lord. We would ask our brother, Mr. John Dean, to lead us off in prayer. Brother